Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Keep doing that, I'll get in shape. You know, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. That means there was some physical there, right? With his strength, he danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what it's supposed to look like, folks. Not what we've made it. You know, we need to break the old molds, right? Let God decide. Let's get into His mold. Not the mold of religion. Amen? Commandments of men. Rituals, empty rituals. Routines. It's about life in Him. Eternal life. Thank you, Lord. The whole earth should rejoice before Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. You got breath in here today? We should be praising the Lord. Hallelujah. It's in the book. I don't know where some of the people get some of these funky doctrines. They don't have any music in their services. And how many know that the Psalms are all songs, right? And David created all kinds of instruments. And to express their heart, their love, their gratitude to God. And so we should, in every way, praise the Lord and magnify Him. And let people see you get your ugly dance on. Because that's what it looks like when I dance, but I don't care. Somebody say amen, right? Yeah. David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. It's an easy one to remember. It's Psalms 150. It's the very last psalm. It says this: praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. And the new version says with the sixth string. And praise Him with the timbrel and dance. I read it right there. That qualifies it right there. And praise Him with the string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Oh, I hate that drum set. No, I don't. I think God likes it when we're playing it for Him, right? Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Where's Chuck at? He's out cooking. Okay. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I think sometimes and I'm all for maturity, I'm all for growing up, but when it comes to the Lord, you know, we need to come before Him as children. Yeah. Amen, with childlike faith and expectation and awe and wonder of exploring, of discovering Him. You know, the heavens are open to us. The veil has been rent. We have access to discover, to know, to have intimacy, to enter into the very presence, the very throne of grace, our Father's throne, as sons and daughters who don't have to beg outside for bread, but can come with confidence, amen, into the throne of our Father and receive and eat and dine at His table. And even in the midst of our enemies, God prepares this great banquet for us to feast. And you know, it's unfortunate, but so many are starving and there's a banquet set before them. But we've got to get over this big obstacle called self-image. What do people think? What will people think if I really start shouting out and praising the Lord? I don't know about you, but I'm more concerned about what God thinks. And I want to please my Father, amen? And you know, sometimes, folks, the chains on your life will be broken the moment you step out of yourself and get over yourself and say, I'm done with bondage. I'm done with being bound by fear or performance-driven life or the opinions of men. and I'm going to live for my God. Amen. I'm looking for His validation and not the validation of man. And you're free from the opinions of men when you seek His validation, because He will validate you. He will say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. And if the Father's smiling on you, you're going to be smiling. Amen. He'll bring a smile to your face. And God wants His people to be joyful. Amen. We're supposed to be joyful. And think of it this way. Sometimes we're asking God to give us what we already have. And we just need to believe what we already have is a right now possession. How many believe today that you already have in Christ joy? It's not something you have to conjure up. It's something you have to step out in by faith. Believe that what He says is true. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if He is in me, then I have joy because He is my joy. It's the fruit of Him. So we'll have to tell your face sometimes you have joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have joy. Tell your neighbor, quit sucking them lemons. No, don't do that. It's too late, right? Okay. Oh, I hate it when they get happy in church. Well, you can go join the Chosen Frozen down the road or the First Church of the Frigid Air. I grew up in one of them, man. I ain't going back there. No life in that. I'm a soul that was set free, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. Liberated. Hallelujah. The devil hates it when you get happy, when you praise the Lord. So anyways, we're glad to have everybody here. And actually, some of the ladies that I got to be a part of your prayer meeting, really. And I just, man, you know what? God is doing something. There's a movement of ladies, and it's not this thing that Hillary's rising up. There's a amen. It is a movement of, it's a Holy Spirit thing that God is bringing together women with a bride's heart and an understanding of the bride's heart to intercede, you know, and the heavens are opening and the glory of God is coming down and things are shifting. You know, in the atmosphere around us, and God is positioning things, and God is drawing people and saving and sanctifying and filling people with His Spirit and raising people up. And God has a way, doesn't He, of getting our attention. Sometimes it's through very difficult times that we have to come. But I prefer just to be a willing yes person when it comes to the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a yes person. When it comes to the Lord, not man. Okay. You know, it's true, isn't it, that we have to be willing vessels. God doesn't force Himself on us. He invites us to participate in what He's doing. He invites us to come alongside Him and yoke up, link up, and walk together with Him. So we're not making anything happen. We're simply walking with Jesus. And wherever Jesus goes, things happen. Amen. So we want to get from the place of striving to a place of resting and allowing God to work. Amen. In that place of rest out of our lives. Jesus said it will be like a river of living water flowing from your innermost being, you know, flowing out of your belly. He said, this is what it's like to walk in the Spirit and to be directed of the Spirit. And so out of you and I, we become now the temple, right, of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand that when Jesus showed up. They thought God was in the temple, you know, or in a building. But God is in us today, isn't He? Jesus says He's with you, but He shall be in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The key is to abide or continue in Him. In Him, we can accomplish much. Apart from Him, we can do zero. So we've been talking about drawing near to God in worship, the importance of it. And unfortunately, there's too many believers who, they love the Lord, they're His children, but they don't understand really what it is. What is true worship? Jesus said the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so for many, worship is just singing a couple songs on Sunday morning, you know, and hearing a little sermonette and maybe, you know, throwing some money in the offering plate, and then I'll see you next week, maybe, unless the weather's really nice. But people are missing it, and the enemy is very slick at diversion. He's deliberately playing interference, you know, to get you distracted, to get you away from the courts of the Lord into the things of this world. We are complete in Him, it tells us in Colossians. We're complete in Him. And so Jesus said in John 15 that we must abide. That means to continue in Him. As we continue, then we drink of His life, and then we produce in time good fruit, which is really the fruit of God in our lives. It's not me saying today, well, I'm going to be a fruitful Christian today and I'm going to be really nice to people. How many believe Christians should be the nicest people? Right? We should be nice. But was Jesus always nice? No. So it's not about just being nice and being tolerant. It is about being loving. And sometimes the loving thing to do is to just be straight with somebody and tell them straight up, this is the deal. You know, if you see somebody drowning in the ocean and you have a life preserver, amen, or a lifesaver, well, we can say, I'm going to be really tolerant here and I'm not going to trouble them with this lifesaver. I'm just going to wait for them to ask for it, right? No, you need to say, hey, over here, get a hold of this. And, you know, sometimes what we call love is not love at all. It's the touchy-feely eros love of this world that everybody hold hands and sing kumbaya and get along and we are the world. You know, and it's a lie because without Christ at the center, all we have is self, and our self life has to be put to death daily, the Bible says, because we are all corrupted through sin in Adam. Amen? So we can't live in Adam and get along. That's why the governments of the world have been trying for so long now, thousands of years since the beginning, come on somebody, to have peace, world peace. Well, if we just have a little more legislation, a little bit more, you know, a little more dialogue, then eventually we're going to achieve world peace. Well, there's going to be a pseudo-peace that we know the Antichrist will bring in. Amen? But it's not going to last very long. Why? Because man is incapable of living in harmony as long as he's still in Adam, still in that corrupt nature. And for some people, Christianity is just adding good things to the old, patching things up, getting some health, you know, self-help improvement tapes and 12 steps to being a better person, you know. And then they're still empty. They're still not walking in victory because they're relying upon their own ability to live right. Somebody say amen. Amen. So our ability has to come from the Lord, right? We know that. We have to learn how to lean on Him, draw from Him, depend on Him. So God takes you and I through a process of sanctification, which often is painful, even as a tree has to be pruned. Amen? So that He can get us into a position to where we are bearing the good fruit of His life and no longer depending on ourselves as being the agent of salvation. There are many people who think, if I just live this way and do these things, then I will be saved. Well, as long as you are the Savior, you're not saved. When you are done with yourself and you are fully trusting in Christ, then you're in safety. You're in a good place. You're in a place where you are planted by the water brooks, amen, of His presence, and you will bear fruit in its season. You have to continue. He who overcomes or endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So if we're going to see the glory of God, how many just love the presence of the Lord? Amen. We must be worshipers. And worship is much more than, again, than just singing songs in a church service. Amen. It's an entire life that's given back to God as an offering. That's my reasonable act of service. It's my worship. My worship is saying, God, you loved me so much. You gave yourself for me. You paid the highest price for my soul. Now it is only reasonable that I should now give my life back to you. It's my reasonable service as an act of worship. More than just singing, it is singing. It is shouting. It is dancing. It is prayer. Amen. It is interceding on behalf of others. Worship is giving. Amen. Amen. Worship is obeying His voice. Worship is a life lived for Him and not self. That's true worship. A true worshiper who has been born again, born of His Spirit, who is a child of His, who now has purpose, has destiny in Him. To live the life that He gave you, amen, before Him. If we want our lives changed, we got to be worshipers. If we want our families saved, we got to be worshipers. If we want this city reached for Christ, we've got to be a worshiping people. Amen. A couple songs on Sunday morning, folks, is not going to do it. We've got to be a priesthood. We've got to be intercessors. We've got to be crying out to God. We've got to be pulling together. We need to be saying, you know what? Let's edify. Let's build. Let's strengthen. Let's encourage. What can I do to encourage you, amen, to go deeper into God? How can I encourage you to get free of that addiction? That Jesus is able to do it. If you believe, all things are possible. Ultimately, folks, worshipers are those who align themselves with the will of God. That's a worshiper. A person who is walking in step with the Spirit is a true worshiper. As we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And when we learn how to be a worshiper and walk with the Lord daily, and we do worship the Lord in spirit and from our hearts as we sing and give thanksgiving and give praise to God. Amen. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, as we do this individually, then when we come together corporately, there is a greater expression of God's presence. We actually are seeding a cloud. Each one of us, if you think about it this way, when you give, when you sow, when you bless, when you praise, when you obey, it's like seeding the cloud in your heart. That's right. And you're filled with the glory of the presence of God. And then when you get a bunch of people, come on somebody, you're filled, you come in here, amen. We didn't come in here to get filled, we came filled. We prayed up before we come, amen. And then when you come, it's just like, whew. It's like, wow, we're creating a cloud, a big cloud, a corporate cloud of glory. Hallelujah. So it begins with you as an individual being responsible as a priesthood to stay connected. And the priests in the Old Testament, listen, were not to go outside of the sanctuary. They lived their life in service to the Lord. They were anointed to serve in the temple. And the anointing oil was upon them, speaking of the Holy Spirit. So likewise today, you and I are not to disconnect, amen, from worshiping God in the Spirit, from praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray, as a matter of fact, without ceasing. And as we are praying and continuing and abiding in Him, we are walking expressions of God's heart. His glory is revealed through His church. People see that there is something to this beyond all the fighting and the hypocrisy that they see, amen, among God's people. But when we walk in the Spirit, we don't gratify the deeds of the body, amen, in the flesh. And how many think we get along pretty good here? Amen? If they didn't raise your hand, pray for them right now. But we get along good as long as we stay connected to the Lord. You know, you've heard it said many times, but for those who haven't heard this, this is a great illustration. You tune a piano to a tuning fork, right? You don't tune a piano to another piano. And a lot of Christians try to tune themselves to some other piano. They hang out. They're just like, give me some Holy Spirit. You know? Sorry, man. But we need to go to the source ourselves individually and have a walk and have intimacy with God and have a prayer life. Come on, a prayer walk with Him. And then tune to the same standard, which is Christ. So when we do that and we come together, we have this thing called unity. Why? Because we're all tuned to the same source. And it's not we're trying to tune to each other. Well, let's just try harder to get along. Well, connect with God and you'll have peace. You'll have be salt. Be light. So our worship is so important that we have a life that is a life of expression of love, of gratitude to the Lord and to you, to others, to one another. And we're loving people who we see. We're loving God who we don't see. Now, we all know about the adversary. Sometimes he gets way too much credit. But you know, sometimes we're not paying attention to when it is him. And he's beating you, browbeating you and kicking you around and making you depressed and making you feel bad and like a loser and all these things that he tells us, you know. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, why are you tolerating that? I've already taken care of that dude. Take authority. Amen. And tell him where to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have the authority in Jesus' name. Your victory over your enemy is going to be through your worship. Praise, I'm saying again, is toxic to the devil. If he's getting in your life, getting in your hair, getting in your attitudes, come on, don't. It's getting quiet now. I heard that attitude word. Yeah. We're kind of joking around, you know. Sometimes I wake up in the morning grumpy. Other times I let grumpy sleep, you know. But if we get, that's actually Jesus speaking, so not me. Yeah. But if we got bad attitude, come on. You know, God takes to consideration attitude. A good attitude is worship. Because an attitude that is right is saying, I trust you, Lord. No matter what, I'm just letting it go. Anybody beside myself had a bad attitude before? No, we've all dealt with this attitude thing. But again, your attitude will shift in the presence of the Lord. No attitude's going to survive in His presence. No flesh is going to glory in His presence. So get it. Your flesh will rejoice as long as you're disconnected. But if you stay close to His heart, there is a place, like the old hymn says, of quiet rest. Near to the heart of God. It's a place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. When we're not connected to the heart of God, then sin begins to dominate. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so there is this ugly thing called sin, and the devil wants to entice us to sin because he wants to make us enemies of God again. He wants to get us in a bad place, amen, where we're in rebellion, amen. Because God wants to bless your life, and God wants to use you, but he can't as long as we're listening to the wrong voice. And so we've got to get ourselves into position so that he can bless us and raise us up and use us. And that means we need to be yes people,
yes, Lord,
when it comes to the Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Right?
Yes,
amen. Worship is the key to defeating the devil. It's toxic to him, and it brings really the hand of God out of heaven, and he subdues our enemies. He chases them away, and it brings us into a place where we can hear him more clearly and discern his will. Worship brings us into a place where we begin to know Him. You know, guys, with our wives, you know, we know their voice and we know their whisper. You know, I've used this illustration a lot. And the same thing, ladies, you know your husband's voice. If your husband or your wife is on the other side of the wall and there's a whole crowd of people talking, but you can hear them through the wall, you're going to be able to pick out that voice. When people come through the door here sometimes, I listen, I hear them out in the foyer. I know who they are already before they come through the door because I've gotten familiar with their voice. Likewise, through intimacy with the Lord, we learn His voice. And then we're not following that other voice anymore. Who tries to impersonate, he can get pretty close sometimes, you know. He tries to impersonate the Lord. He does some bad stuff and then he tells us it was God. How many times have we heard said, well, God told me to tell you. Well, how come God didn't say anything to me? I'm just not that spiritual, I guess. If God is speaking to you through somebody, it's going to be a confirmation of what God has already put in your heart. It's going to be just like a breath, amen, of wind on a flame or on an ember. And when the prophetic word comes, it's life-giving, even if it's corrective. And sometimes God has to correct us, but it will be life-giving. And so, praise, worship, thanksgiving is huge because, again, it will get that enemy off you. You can praise your way out of depression. I guarantee it. The devil wants to tell you you can't. But how many know that God's not depressed? Amen? And if you get into His presence, guess what? It's not there either. You're not in that either. But what about the doctor? Forget the doctor! Start listening to what Jesus says. I'm not saying to stop taking your medication. I'm saying listen to His voice. What is God telling you to do? So often we run to doctors and we go, the doctor told me, the doctor. How about getting alone with God, crying out to God, seeking His face, having intimacy with Him so that you're beginning to know His will. You can discern His will for your life and you know what He's telling you to do. And God often will give you an instruction. Sometimes God will tell you, change your diet. Quit eating at the Golden Arches. I knew there's some conviction on that one. Yes, Lord. Actually, I don't eat there very often, but you understand? Sometimes God is just—he gives us practical instruction on life. Start eating healthy. Get out, take a walk, get some exercise. You know, turn that stupid boob tube off. Quit watching Days of Our Lives. Start living life. Amen. Living life with Jesus. You know, last week I talked about Solomon at the dedication of the temple. How they had given so many sacrifices. They sacrificed so many. Can you imagine? I mean, if anybody here had a herd of goats or whatever, or sheep, and you gave a couple sheep, you'd know it. It was a sacrifice, you know? But it says that they offered so many sacrifices that they were without number. They couldn't be numbered. Solomon gave sacrifices to the Lord. How many know that God is in the sacrifice? God is in the sacrifice. God sees that. He sees a heart that's willing to sacrifice for Him. Because God's heart is that way. He's a sacrificial God. He is an agape God. Amen. Agape love is a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that says, I love you more than I love myself. You're more important to me than my own life. No greater love has any man than this, that he would what? Lay down his life for a friend. They gave sacrifices, got God's attention. And then the priests went into the temple and they worshiped. They had been anointed to be in there. And when they came out, then they joined in a corporate celebration service of worship to the Lord. And the musicians and the singers, they lift up their voices with loud instruments, with praise and thanksgiving. And what happened? The glory of the Lord, the cloud, the Shekinah glory of the Lord came into the temple and filled the temple to the degree, and they were so inebriated or overwhelmed by the presence of God that they could no longer serve. I believe that. That's what happened. It says they couldn't serve any longer. What is it saying? Folks, it's saying this. Is that you can have an anointing and you can be very busy and you can serve the Lord with your anointing. Amen. Whether it's you're healing the sick or casting out demons. But then there's a place where the glory of God comes and the priests are no longer working. Now it's God taking over and now the miracles happen freely. People just walk into the glory and they're healed. Nobody lays hands. Nobody even had to speak a word. Just God shows up, and wherever He is, there are miracles. And why do we need that? Because the world is looking for an answer. They're looking for hope. Most of the people that are worshiping the devil are convinced that God has no power, and the devil does. Think about that. People are looking for power. People are afraid, they're fearful, and they're looking for something that will make them feel like they got some control over things. And unfortunately, too many of our churches are dead. There's no life, there's no substance, there's no power. And we have young people growing up, they should see the manifest presence of God. They should know the miracles of God. They should see that God is greater than the devil. They should see people getting set free from addictions, amen, and from demons. Because the glory of God, amen, will trump anything the enemy has. And that's what God wants you and I to be about as His people. To get into a place where even corporately we are so together and unified and seeking and praising Him with all the instrumentation. Amen. And everybody seeking the same thing. And that is the face of God for God's glory to come in a way. We've had some beautiful, wonderful times. Thank you, Jesus, for every time that you show up and for your presence here today. But I know that there's more and I want more. I want more. Amen. Hallelujah. And they come here and they're going to say, wow, God is definitely in those people. Man, when they were saying things, they were reading my mail. How could they know that? I get people mad at me, and I sometimes I don't have a clue that I'm reading their mail, but I am. I'm just saying what God tells me to say, and they're saying, you're judging me. No, the Lord is judging you. The Lord is judging you. Now, if I judge you, that's wrong. But if God judges you, it's so that you will realize that you're a sinner, you're lost, and you're in trouble. And there's a solution to that. Thank God. Amen. There's a refuge in Jesus. There's an escape from the wrath of God. You can be forgiven. You can be, amen, cleansed. And you can be made into a new creation if you will turn away from yourself and be willing to die to that. Then you can live in Him. You can't live in yourself and live in God at the same time. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do. They're just trying to live this part-time Jesus thing. Ephesians 5:19. How many know this one? It talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. What? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are worshipers, amen? And we worship Him in spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So it's my spirit connecting with God's spirit. It's not my mind, intellect, and soul, the soulish realm, connecting with God. You know what I'm talking about? There's a difference between a spiritual prayer and a soulish prayer. A soulish prayer has no power. Amen. But a prayer that is offered by the Spirit of God, your spirit in agreement with the Spirit of God, is a powerful prayer that connects with the heart of the Father. And it's the Spirit who reveals to us the will of the Father. You can't learn God in a test tube. Amen. Or in a classroom. He has to be revealed by the Spirit to us. There are a lot of people that are ever learning, like the Pharisees. They've got more degrees in the thermometer. They've got all the knowledge in the Bible and the theology, and yet they can be so dead. And yet you can have a Peter and John, you know. You can have a couple of rough and tumble fishermen that, you know, the least likely to succeed. Jesus got a hold of them, and they hung out with Jesus, and all of a sudden things were different. They took note of them because they had been with Jesus. They had fellowship in the Spirit with the Lord, and they were transformed. They were expressing His heart. So think about your praise. Think about your giving of thanks. Think about your acts of service. Think about your giving. Think about your acts of obedience to the Father as seeds that are being planted in the soil of God's garden. And Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint," or we do not lose heart or give up. And so understand that when you're sowing and you're giving and you're blessing and you're loving and you're sharing and you're expressing Jesus in this world, your labor is never in vain. It's never in vain. You want the glory of God in your life? Stay connected. Amen? Seed the cloud. Feed your spirit. Build your spirit. Your flesh is fighting it, isn't it? Your flesh doesn't want to pray. We got to stay in the Spirit. We got to continue in the Spirit. Amen? Because when you do, it'll be easier for you to pray. But when the enemy gets us distracted, all of a sudden we find it very difficult. And then we have to sometimes travail to break through again. Amen? And get into that realm. To where now I'm no longer striving. I'm just resting now. Life is good in the God zone. Staying tight with Jesus in that place of intimacy. And that's the place where sin cannot molest. As a matter of fact, there isn't even a desire for sin in His presence. You hate the very thought of it. You know what I'm talking about? When you're tight with God, you're walking with God. When you sin, maybe in your mind, or you do something foolish, you say, "God, I hate that. I hate it when I do that." Why? Because the Spirit of God is dealing with you. Why? Because you're close to Him. You're hearing Him. But unfortunately, there are some people that keep grieving the Spirit of God, and their conscience becomes seared, and now the things that used to make them blush, they don't have any problem with anymore. They can watch anything on television. They can go see any movie. They can go hang out with anybody and do anything they want, and there's no problem because they have this false delusion that, oh, me and Jesus are tight. We have an understanding, you know. Well, He may wink at you, you know, He may be dealing with your sin, but me and Jesus, I can do whatever I want. And He knows me. Well, maybe your Jesus is that way, but my Jesus is holy. And my Jesus says, be holy. And He said, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's the real Jesus. And you can't be holy just because you're trying to be good. You're going to be holy because you're abiding in the Holy One. It's all about relationship. It's all about presence. Walking in the presence of God. Abiding in the Spirit of the Lord. Continuing with Him. Singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. All right? Singing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Edifying, building, staying in the cloud. Amen? In the glory zone. Daily doing this. And then, when we come together, it's glorious. You know, I really like hanging out with you guys. I really like coming to church. You know, as a pastor, I mean, I've been in places where I don't know if I really wanted to be there. Like I said, I've been in some services I've been invited to preach, or I've been in some memorial services that were just kind of like, man, where's the exit at? You're not going to find the living among the dead. But when you get around live people, people who are alive, people who are hungry for God, amen, hunger draws His presence. And hunger is a result of a sense need for Him. And you can, I'm going to say this, I'm almost through. You can develop an appetite for God. And you know how you do it? You start denying your flesh daily. You stop feeding your flesh the stuff it wants. Come on, somebody. A lot of people are so filled up on junk entertainment that there's no longer a sense need for God. They're used to eating the junk food, and so the junk food tastes good to them, even though they're dying. They don't even realize it. You know, people that eat junk food all the time are actually killing themselves and don't know it. They feel full. There's a sense, a false sense of satisfaction, but your body is crying out for nutrition. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Only He is going to satisfy us, truly satisfy us. And I pray that you would just cultivate a hunger and a thirst for God by feeding yourself, amen, on Him, on His Word, on His Spirit, amen, on fellowship. As we come together, we're receiving the benefits of the body. How many realize that when you come to church, there's something, a special blessing when you're in church? Amen? Because we are the church. I don't know how many times, even this last weekend, I've heard people say, well, I don't like organized religion. And I say, well, I don't either. You know, but I do like it when people get together and organize for Jesus. You know, because we can do a lot more if we're organized. If we're together, we can accomplish a whole lot more than we can by just being an island and doing my own thing over here, you know. Let me know that everything we do should be out in the light, should be out in the open. You know, cults like to hide in secret. Cults are people that say, you want to really know what God is saying, you got to come with us. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Revelation, right? If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. Now, this was stated in the context of sowing and reaping. Worship is sowing and reaping your life. Not just like people have made it all about money, amen? No, it's about you giving your life back to God in service. You're sowing. And as you're sowing in the Holy Spirit, you will in due season, Galatians 6, 9, what? Reap a harvest of righteousness. And that righteousness will be obvious to others. People will see Christ in you. They will see the good fruit of Him in your life. And those who are hungry for God, that God has prepared the soil of their hearts, they are going to want the fruit that they see in your life. Amen? Now, if we're full of ourselves and full of the flesh, obviously, we don't want that. They don't want. The world doesn't need us. They need Jesus. So you keep on giving. Keep on blessing. Keep on loving. Keep on serving. Keep on praying. Keep on praising. Amen? Keep on interceding. And what you sow, you will reap in time, in the season of God's choice. Amen? He will release that which you have sown. And He's a good God. And He gives abundantly, lavishes His grace upon us. Amen? For what reason? So that we can be an overflowing cup and splash over onto people all around us. And they say, you know what? Whatever it is you've got, I want. Amen? How many have heard people say that to you? Whatever you've got, I want. Well, let's be a people that are so full of Jesus. Amen? That people that are hungry and want, are looking for God, will see God and say, whatever you have, I want.